County Care rewards you. With County Care, you can earn Visa cash rewards for things you're already doing. Get up to $100 for taking your baby to the doctor for well child visits. Then you can use your County Care Visa cash rewards card to get baby essentials on us. Learn more at countycare.com or call 312-864-8200. County Care is open to all Cook County residents enrolled through Health Choice Illinois. The County Care Visa Rewards Program cannot be used for the purchase of alcohol, tobacco, firearms, or gambling.
News just in. Bet365 is now live in Illinois.
That's right. Join Bet365 today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet $5, win or lose.
That's amazing.
That's for sure. With Bet365, you can bet on the spread, totals, and money line.
Well, there you have it, Illinois. Download the Bet365 app and get your $150 in bonus bets today.
And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Illinois. T's and C's apply.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, March 27th, 2025. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. As always, you can find us on thechairshot.com and everywhere that you listen to your favorite podcast on all those platforms. I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. I'm going to go around the room and introduce this cast of characters like I do each and every week here, starting with the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He is Bucky's tag team partner. He hails from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine, the man with the bionic back, destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how are you?
I am doing wonderful, gentlemen. It is a pleasure to be here.
How's your work week?
Good. I mean, I work at an oil company, man. It's starting to warm up, you know, we do ACs and stuff in the summer, but it's not quite that ready for that. So we're in a nice little lull period right now. So
yeah, I'd imagine you're kind of like, okay, it's taking your deep breath before the plunge.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
We just got over the winter, so, you know, that's behind us and nice little reprieve and then right back to it, baby.
All right. Well, yeah, that's probably going to be my work here for the next couple months too. The host of the Rob the Genius podcast. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data. He's the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling podcast, the king of the power nap. And looking at his eyes right now, it looks like he could use one because he's looking awful tired. He is Ray Cash's daddy and the man with the golden shovel. Mr. Rob, sir, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Actually, I'm actually good. Look tired, but I'm actually pretty good tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all right tonight, too. I got a little bit of hammock time in. For those of you that follow me on the app formerly known as Twitter, you know I like my hammock, and right now is perfect weather time in Florida. Like, it's not too hot yet. I think it's probably in the low 80s, high 70s out there with a nice breeze. So I got home from work, ate dinner, kicked off my clothes, threw on some comfy clothes, laid out on the hammock for maybe – and actually, to be honest with you guys, I almost got caught by the nap. Like, it almost caught me. It was that nice out there. So I was almost there, and I was thinking about, I was like, I got to get up, man. I got to get the podcast going. And then, like, I was talking with Jason earlier. I spent all day yesterday thinking yesterday was Thursday. You know, I was joking with Jason. I was ribbing him because he has, like, no concept of time this week. What a weird week this has been.
Yeah, it's just the time has been very weird because – unlike a lot of years in my, you know, other HVAC jobs, the lull just all of a sudden happens. Like sometimes there's a week or two where it's like, okay, it's slowing down, but it's still busy. It just all of a sudden was like the phone just stopped ringing. So like time has been very weird this week.
So is this your first full year? Like this is your first coming out of a winter with them? I know you haven't been there that long.
With them, yeah.
Okay, so this is all new to you.
Oil with this company. So yeah, exactly. And I think the weather had something to do with it. That's kind of how the weather was too. All of a sudden, it was just like not cold anymore here.
So I would assume you're still anticipating at least one more good cold spell before it's out and gone.
Most likely.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Rob. So it's been almost a month. How's back to work? How's it being back in the office?
The commute stinks. that's the worst part about it. I don't mind. Like, if I could teleport to the office,
yeah,
it wouldn't be so bad. Or if it was like 5 minutes from here, yeah, it wouldn't be so bad. It's just the commute stinks, and I still haven't gotten a routine down yet to leave it early enough in the morning. So it's funny because me and my buddy Craig, we're two of the veterans around there now. We're talking to one of the younger guys, and he's like, "So y'all get here early?" And then I said, "Well, I leave at 4 o'clock every day." and then Craig was like, "Yeah, I leave at 3:30 every day. You know, getting here, you know, we get here when we get here, basically."
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's the running joke in my office, and it has been for years. My start time is 7:30. I can't be one of these people that walks right in the door and goes to work. That drives me insane. Like, I got to get in there, get my head right, drink my coffee, say good morning to my coworkers, maybe have a little bit of chit chat, and then get it. Like, now when the workday starts, I hit the ground running. You know, you have to. I work in healthcare, and when patients are there, they're ready to go, and it's time to get it moving. But there are literally people who will come in the door. If their shift is at 7:30, they will roll in at 7:32. And that just drives me nuts. Like, how – that's total insanity to me, the people that do that. It's crazy. The only part about my job is that I'm 7:30 to 5. And the commute, when I get on to 95, you know, Rob's talking about the commute sucking. Man, every week on 95, there's an accident. Every single week I find myself sitting in traffic and I'm either starving to death and I want to get home and eat, or suddenly I got to go to the bathroom. I'm like, okay, this sucks. I hate this.
So Deej, you would hate me because I'm one of those people. I punch in at 7:59 or 7:59, you know, and then I sit down and I start working. But in my defense,
that's psychotic behavior.
Hang on. My day is structured that the first probably 45 minutes to 2 hours of my day, I am just doing paperwork. I am not talking to anyone. I am not like doing any. So it's not like I have to be like prepped or like, I don't know. I can just sit down and I can just, you know, I have my coffee already and I just love it to just be like, okay, you know, I don't have to be, you know, what's it, you know, happy and peppy and charismatic or anything like that. Or that's far away. So it's perfect. Just walk in and start working.
See, I envy that sometimes because like my workday starts, like I said, at 7:30 and I have FaceTime with people by 7:31. So I've got to put it on. I've got to turn it on like the minute I get ready to start work. So I'm kind of envious of that. But I wanted to talk, Rob, a little bit more because I know you've been working at home for several years and my girlfriend has been working from home since COVID started. And there's a part of me that is kind of envious of that because it'd be neat just to be able to walk from the bedroom to my office. But at the same time, now that you're back in the office, and you know, there have been studies on this that the kind of the isolation can kind of mess with your mental health. Do you find that maybe you're a little bit more mentally refreshed now that you're dealing with people, like actually in the office talking with people again?
Yes and no. Like, I'm happy to be around, you know, like the people I was, you know, was considered work friends or real friends. I'm happy to see them again.
Yeah.
But the people who annoy the hell out of me that, you know, I do not have to be around. Now I have to be around them some more. So, you know, it's, I mean, if I could have the people who I like and not have to deal with the people who irritate me, then it'd be less of a problem, but, it's,
yeah.
But I'll say this. I mean, it's, you know, being around people you like is fine, right? And yeah, honestly, yes, being in the house by myself every day. I mean, yeah, that does absolutely does have an effect on you. And I think we did lose a lot in terms of socialization, through all of this. But I mean, at the same time, it's like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like our kids probably lost more because they lost, they lost time hanging out with friends and whatnot.
Yeah.
I think they lost more than we did. I don't know. I mean,
I guess for you, it's probably six of one, half a dozen the other.
It's kind of a wash altogether. Now there are certain things now, not to get all morbid here, but, I missed some time going to see my dad because of that, and his last year with us, for a while you couldn't go see him at all. And then they finally came up with a way that people could come see their loved ones at the nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And then, when things went back up, I got to see him a few more times before he passed. If you have something for specific like that, then it absolutely sucked. Okay. But if it was just, if you didn't have something like that, then it's kind of a wash.
Okay. All right. Well, we didn't come here to talk about all that stuff tonight. This is a wrestling podcast. I know. I love dragging you guys down these little side roads, though, because to me, it's fascinating. Because like I said, I find it fascinating to hear your perspective on that and Tina's perspective on that, because in my head, obviously my job can't be done remotely. So to me, working remotely is like this fantasy utopia of, wow, I don't have to deal with people. I don't have to have FaceTime. I can kind of, do my thing. But at the same time, there's drawbacks to it. So, but we're going to talk some wrestling, and there's not a lot to talk about this week, but there were a few things that came up. Got some women's wrestling related news we're going to kick around here for a few minutes. We're going to go to a commercial break after that. And when we get back, Jason and Rob are both going to, is it AEW or is this a Ring of Honor show technically?
No, it's AEW.
AEW Dynasty. Rob and Jason are both going to be live boots on the ground for that. So they're going to kick around that card. I'm going to lay back in the background because I tried with AEW, man. I'll talk about that in a little bit. I'm going to let them do the bulk of the talking on that. But first, let's kick around some women's wrestling news. We'll start with a couple of minor ones, and then we're going to kick around the big one here in a minute. Came out today that Saraya, the artist formerly known as Paige in her time in WWE, has exited AEW. And that's kind of interesting. When she first left WWE, obviously Paige, as she were, horribly injured neck, had not worked for WWE, had not wrestled for WWE for quite some time, and it was very clear they were not going to let her go back to in-ring action. They had found things for her to do backstage and things like that, but she felt like she was healthy enough to go in and compete. They disagreed. She left. She went to AEW, and of course, Tony let her do her thing, and by all accounts, it's gone fairly well. I'm not aware of her having any major injuries since she went to AEW, which was a concern early on because it was very obvious that early AEW didn't give a shit. Yeah. So we were all like, I remember the conversation on this very podcast when she went there. It's like, okay, if that's what you want to do, but we're praying for you. And, it looks like that she managed to avoid further injuring herself, but now her time with AEW has come to an end and she's starting to make the rounds and speaking less, she's speaking more favorably of her former employer. Let's start it there. And Rob, I'm going to kick it over to you. You got any thoughts on this?
Okay. See, I was never a big fan of hers at all.
See, I liked Paige. I really did.
So, I mean, so for me.
When I first got in, I it was, you know, 2015. I gravitated to Paige just because she was different than the, I mean, that's the baseline reason why they pushed her. But, yeah, the hot goth girl. Got it.
Yeah.
I mean.
Go ahead, Rob.
She could work, by the way.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just, because for me, like, you know, I guess because I was kind of the opposite, like, you know, because. Like everybody was giving, you know, was talking so highly of her. And I guess for me, it was just like, okay. Like, yeah, she's better than like the Bellas or whatever.
Yeah, but no, we know Charlotte was already around at that point. So, all right.
Well, no. I'm
no, she debuted before Charlotte did.
Yeah, because they came in 2014. They didn't come up till 2015.
That's true.
But so
yeah. I'm thinking of the period when I was in, so.
Well, because her and AJ Lee and Nikki Bella were having matches, and they were having better matches than like the Divas division had gotten so horrible from like 2012 and 2013, and what they were doing was definitely better than that. But then a lot of people were talking about it like it was the stuff we've been getting for the past 5 or 6 years, and I just didn't see it. I was like, okay, well. Better, but I mean, okay.
Do you think that maybe Paige came in with a baked in reputation because of her family? Because her family, she comes from a wrestling family, and her mother, Soraya,
wrestling since she was 16 or whatever.
I don't think people care. She was a good looking golf girl, and she was different from the Bellas. She looked, you know, she was different from the Bellas and AJ, and you know, all the, you know, she that's what it was. Okay.
Okay.
That's what it was. I mean, cause at least in the, you know, chatter that I remember having amongst wrestling fans back then, that's pretty much what it was. Just like, I mean, like with AJ, it was the same thing. It was like, oh, she's different. You know, I mean.
But even still, like you're talking about that time period, like, yeah, it wasn't, you know, Macho and Steamboat, but it would, the wrestling ratcheted up and she was a reason why. And AJ was another one. And, you know, it's cause they were all just better wrestlers.
Yeah, I never got it. I was never as enthusiastic about it as a lot of people were.
Well, you hate women's wrestling, so.
Yeah.
I know. And they need to bring, you know, I mean, you know, whatever. But, I mean,
what's next for Paige Soraya?
Okay, so once she had the injuries, look, for me, if you have bad neck injuries or whatever, then I need you to retire. Okay. I don't care who you are. All right. But so once that happened, you know, I was like, okay, just don't paralyze yourself. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, as far as bringing her back, look, she wrestled in AEW. So if they clear her to wrestle, then okay, fine. If they want to bring her back in some other capacity, look, I have no issue with anybody coming back to that company and getting a check. Okay, issue with that. Whether I'm a fan of yours or not, if they want to pay you to do something, I have no problem with that. Pro wrestling is a tough business and it kills your body. And so, if somebody wants to, you know, anytime somebody wants to pay you a good amount of money to work for their wrestling company in whatever capacity, I have no problem with it, unless you're like a
thought exercise, Rob. Here's a quick thought exercise. You work for WWE. You have to hire Paige just because I don't know somebody owes her a favor. But it can be any capacity you want.
Okay. At this point, I can't imagine her coming back to not wrestle because she's had a taste of it. So unless
she let's just say you got to pick.
I got to pick.
Yeah, and she could just pretend she just had to sign the contract because somebody's doing her a favor.
Me? You know. She'd be really nice on all those panels for those documentaries.
Well, I mean, yeah, she would, but
okay.
You know what? GM Paige was perfectly fun. So you know what? If they want to give her some sort of on-screen role like that, obviously if she wants to wrestle and they clear her, fine. I don't think she'd make the division any worse, but I do think she was really good at that stuff. So,
yeah,
that's my opinion. DJ, what do you think?
If she's able to wrestle and it's safe for her to wrestle, I would be okay booking her to wrestle again. If not, I would have her go down to NXT and manage that trio of Gigi Dolin, Tatum Paxley.
Yeah.
Tatum Paxley. Who's the third one?
Shotzi was hanging out with them.
Oh, Shotzi, yeah, and Shotzi. I would have her go down there and manage them because that just seems like a good mixture of girls. And, you know, Paige has value. You know, she's been around the game. Gosh, she's what, 30 now?
Something like that.
She's around 30. She'd be cool
with Fatal Influence, too.
That, too. But there's some knowledge to be gained from Paige. And, yeah, she's, you know, worked over in the UK, worked for WWE, now worked for AEW. So she's accumulated knowledge. There's
talk
value.
About a girl who's been literally done it all in the industry.
Absolutely.
Like she's worked at WrestleMania. She's worked at All In. She's, you know, she's worked bingo halls with her parents.
And I'd like
if the legends are to be believed, her mother worked with Paige in her belly.
Yeah. I'd like to think she's matured. So maybe there's something there. Yeah, I'm totally on board. If they want to bring her back and if she's able to wrestle, then sure, let's do that.
Well, no, I think they are absolutely going to make her some type of offer because that's what they do. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. And it looks good on the resume.
And DJ, the Dirt Sheets and Tony are not shy about like burying people on the way out or things like that or dropping things like that. And by all counts,
unfortunately, they're trying to bury people in the face of the absolute best company at rehabbing images. So,
right.
Yes. Yeah. And
they're fighting a losing battle there.
And honestly, because like her.
I haven't heard any like dirt sheet bull crap about her in forever. So, hey.
Nope. And I was all of her now former, well, her former, that, all her former, now former coworkers, I mean, they were all, you know, sending her well wishes on Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. So she didn't have any heat with anybody. So,
nah.
Yeah.
So and bring I'm it, not come sure on. If her and Ronnie Radke are still a thing. I don't know that they are, because that would have been the one lingering thing amongst fans. Like, I don't have a huge issue with Ronnie Radke, but I know he's a lightning rod on Twitter, so.
Well, and, you know, he doesn't work. Whatever she does in her personal time is her own thing. You know, what she does on television, fine. I enjoy watching what she does on television, so.
And so let's move on while we're on the subject of AEW and women's wrestling. Rob brought up in the kickoff show, and this goes along with something that I read either yesterday or early today. Mariah May's contract is due up at some point this year. That's interesting because she's been a major player on AEW TV. So at least looking at it from our 10,000 foot view, as Jason likes to say, watching it as fans, I can't see any reason why she would be unhappy with AEW. Her booking was spectacular. She was in a great feud. Yeah, it was a feud she ultimately lost, but lost in spectacular fashion. So at least taking it at face value, I can't see any reason why she would want to leave unless she's behind the scenes either not happy or just wanting to look elsewhere.
I would – what is she, 24? If this was a sport analogy, I would say go to free agency. Just go to free agency. And if Tony gives you backs up the Brinks trucks to your house, you stay home. And if you get a good offer from NXT or AEW or WWE, make the jump. Cause I mean, at her heart, she's a fangirl. She's a super fan. That's how I first knew about her. And God bless her, she's become a goddamn awesome wrestler. Like, so this is not like a Make-A-Wish kid or anything like that, but, you know, she's a fangirl. You think she doesn't want to work at WrestleMania? Come on.
Yeah, she's 26.
But, okay, so
there
you go.
Still time. Shit, you can go
still
to
time, but I would say, hey, strike. You know, if they come a call and the offer is good, then awesome. But if they just say, all right, we'll put you in NXT, here's your normal offer, and meanwhile Tony's like, here's your, you know, big boy offer, yeah, stay home. But I would tell you, you know, like a sport, at least go to free agency, see what the market says.
Yeah, because here's the thing, right? So she's 26 now. She has time.
Right, she does.
So, and again, like, and remember we were saying this about MJF, like, you look at the makeup of the roster now, and compared to what it will be in 5 years. Again, look, obviously, look, if WWE offers her significantly more money, you take the money, right? And if that means, and if that means you take the money, if you end up eating, you know, KODs, then, you know, such is life, right? If they pay you enough, right? But if the money is, you know, if the money's the same, she has time. And because, you know, in 5 years, you know, the Becky and Charlotte, if they're not gone already, they will be heading out the door, you know, and Asuka will be gone probably in 5 years. And even like, I mean, Bianca may be heading out the door at that point. Cause I mean, Bianca's 36, she'll be 36 this year. She may be heading out the door in 5 years, right? There'll be a much, and there's no guarantee, you know, no guarantee they're going to have like 7 or 8 women come up from NXT. They're going to be that good. So, in, you know, 5 years from now, she could come over and like really just go right to the top, mm-hmm. you know? Whereas if she were to come over there now, she got weight, you know?
Yeah. I'm in line with Rob. I think it comes down to money and opportunity. And right now the pool of women's wrestlers is a little more shallow in AEW than it is WWE. So the opportunities are probably going to come a little easier. But again, and they'll all lie to you and tell you different. The goal is to work for WWE. Like, it really is. They'll all tell you something different, but
yeah,
everybody wants to at least try and see if they got what it takes.
Oh, she, and like Jason said, she started out as a fangirl. She started out like modeling t-shirts for the WWE yeah. show. So she definitely wants to work there at some yeah. point. It's just a matter of timing. And I think for her, again, unless you get an offer you can't refuse, she'd probably be better off waiting a few years and doing it in her next deal. Because, yeah, I mean, right now, look, if she came over there, she'd have to wait. She'd be waiting behind a bunch of people if she came over right now.
Yeah.
Whereas, in 4 or 5 years.
She would be an excellent mid-card champion.
Yeah.
And I can say that about the women now. That's awesome. Yeah.
But I'd say, but in her case, she's good enough that if she came up in 5 years, she could be excellent women's world champion. Okay.
Yeah, the landscape would be much different.
But I'm also thinking by the end of this contract, she would get there.
Yeah.
Like if that's why I'm saying play the field. Like honestly, whatever check thumps when it hits the table, that's the one you sign.
Well, it'll also be whether or not she wants to play the long game. Like if she's comfortable taking a WWE deal, taking the paycheck, and just kind of cruising for the next 5 years until the opportunities come, then, yeah, that's a possibility too. And there are some girls who have been in NXT, it feels like, forever. And they're fine just working the show. And, you know, eventually when the Charlottes and the Biancas and the Beckys and the Baileys all start to either go switch to part-time or phase out completely, then those opportunities coming up. And if you're willing to ride it out and realize that, look, right now there ain't much for you, but if you take what you can get, then yeah, it's a perfectly reasonable option to consider.
But even with all these new mid-card championships, the field is a lot bigger. And theoretically, you know, not even theoretically, just do the math. There have been more opportunities for folks.
Yeah.
So that's going to start cycling too.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking in her case, she could definitely, she has potential, I think, to definitely be at the top.
Right.
Okay.
So I think in her case, if you have that, to me, if you have that kind of potential, which I think she does, then I wouldn't want to jeopardize that. And if you come over too early and you get in that, she could get quote unquote stuck in the mid card track. Cause look, she'd be great, you know, as one of the mid card champions, but I mean, if she came over now and she kind of got locked into that, then you got, sure, you got the whole perception thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Or I think coming over for her, I mean, coming over as, again, all those ladies we mentioned are either phasing out or some of them will be gone in 5 years. I think she could come in potentially at a higher spot.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, one more bit of news, and I don't even want to treat it like it's trivial because, quite frankly, this is huge news. TNA let go of Gail Kim for reasons that, I mean, this is like fresh today. So this one has me scratching my head. You know, we do this a lot of times with these releases, and with WWE, we can sit here and we can go, okay, yeah, I get it. Or yeah, I can't defend that. Or I can't give you a reason why they shouldn't have. I'm genuinely scratching my head on this one. Gail Kim has been a pillar, as best as I'm aware, in TNA for the last, what, decade, Rob?
Yeah, between...
And she's been instrumental in the Knockouts division, which, and we've said on this show, has really set the standard for women's wrestling and how women can be booked for the last decade.
They just, dude, their women's division has been treated as...
County Care rewards you. With County Care, you can earn Visa cash rewards for things you're already doing. Get up to $100 for taking your baby to the doctor for well child visits. Then you can use your County Care Visa cash rewards card to get baby essentials on us. Learn more at countycare.com or call 312-864-8200. County Care is open to all Cook County residents enrolled through Health Choice Illinois. The County Care Visa Rewards Program cannot be used for the purchase of alcohol, tobacco, firearms, or gambling.
Like, just part of the show? Like, the whole time I've been back into wrestling. Like, I would watch Impact, like, recorded on Access, and they'd main event. Just normal, and they wouldn't even make a big deal out of it. They'd just be like, yeah, Knockouts in the main event. All right, yep. So their women's division, like, wasn't super deep, but it was awesome. Like, and it's been awesome for years.
Yeah, and then she's been a big part of that, both in the ring and behind the scenes. And I mean, I think it sounds like they're just, you know, the people in charge at Anthem are just kind of, because remember they got rid of Scott D'Amore last year. So yeah. I don't know. It just seems like maybe they just are just moving people out and they want to have their own, you know, people they're choosing or whatever. I don't know. But she would be a great hire to run your women's division. And I think
that's the first thing I thought of, Rob, because we've talked about that on this. They need a knowledgeable woman helping book the women's division in WWE. And, you know, they've made great strides in how the women are presented and how the women are booked. But as we always say, you got to keep your foot on the gas. You got to stay on top of it because complacency can send you backwards.
Yeah.
Can I also say the Knockouts division? Brilliant name. Because it's not, you know, it's not the Divas. It's not, you know, Dainty or whatever, but it's different and just perfect. I love that.
Well, and it's kind of a double meaning because, you know,
exactly.
a good looking woman can be considered a knockout, but these women are also out there whipping ass.
Exactly. So, bingo. Like it's perfect.
Yeah.
So I think honestly, because the things we've talked about that have been most missing are creative stuff like storylines and then also like character development.
And the Knockouts division has had that in spades for a while.
And,
we've had murder mysteries in the women's division. We've had like all sorts of like gang. We've had gang warfare. We've had all in the Knockouts division. Like it's all just normal.
Yeah.
By the way, it's not like it. And even at the same time that again, I was getting back into wrestling and I was watching. Oh, first time the women are doing this, and oh wow, isn't it cool the women are doing this again? And the Knockouts were just over there just doing it because it was Thursday.
Yeah.
So, Rob, you were going to say?
Yeah, well, because I think particularly when you hear like someone promos and stuff, I mean, it it would be so much better to have a woman in charge who, you know, has a better, you know, has obvious, for obvious reasons, a much better idea of, you know, how women talk, for lack of a better word. You know, I mean, so many of the women's promos we hear now, it sounds like a dude wrote it, and it's, you know, it's high school level snarky dialogue and mean girl stuff, and, you know, and it's, you know, I mean, and like, you know, comparing that, and it sounds like a dude wrote it, and even though, they have had women writers over the years, but a lot of it just, we compare like the, a lot of women's promos to.
I think that's what happened to Tiffany Stratton, by the way.
Well, well.
In that mugging, you know, a dude wrote her lines. Her lines sucked. And Charlotte's gonna improvise and inflect and do this, and Tiff's just like, I was given this script, and. So yeah, Gail Kim would have made that segment a lot better if she had written it.
Yeah, and I mean, but also like even with like, you know, I mean, they're like on Raw, there's so many women there that are just like underdeveloped characters. Like, you know, we talk about Lyra Valkyria and, you know, like Ivy and Maxine, and even, you know, we love Dakota, but when you get Dakota away from Damage Control, it's just like, oh, it's Dakota Kai. You know, I mean,
good wrestler girl.
Yeah, I mean, and so I think, you know, in terms of just care, cause I think, you know, look, Sean's doing a really good job down there in NXT, but it's a different animal. And on the main roster, it's like, you know, you have to get into these blocks, and you have to get in these, you know, you got to do this in 5 minutes, and you got to do this in 3 minutes over here. And, you know, that type of thing, it's a whole different thing. So I think it would be better, I think, to have somebody like her. And somebody like her to be in charge, not somebody to write something and then Hunter rips it up, right? Or whoever, or Road Dogg, or whoever says, nah, we're not doing that. Right?
Yeah.
I think it would be good to have somebody like her who, obviously you gotta fit your booking into the show and all of that, but.
Right.
I think it would be good to have somebody like her who you can just hand it to, and then, you know, all we gotta do is fit the stuff into the show. I think, and, you know, that's what I think. So, yeah. You know, somebody needs to hire. If they don't want to hire WWE, Tony needs to hire. Tony needs to hire.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I hope that her being released is not a result of the business deal with WWE and TNA. Like, I hope that was never contingent on that. And not that I want her to be released at all, but if she was released, you know, I hope it was for reasons other than that, whether they were just restructuring internally. A lot of people are speculating that they may be getting ready to sell outright to WWE. I don't think that's the case.
Well, no, if you're going to sell, you want things to look good.
Yeah, but like, you also want things to look financially feasible, and getting rid of unfortunately, when they restructure anything, the hatchet men come through and the first people they cut are salaries. You know, the people, that's the biggest way to cut your budget is to cut salaries. So if they're looking at a sale, that would make sense. As far as WWE, I think we've talked about that on this show before, that she's had heat in the past with WWE and past people, namely Vince McMahon, and the perception and just different things that we don't even need to go into. I read somewhere that Hunter had told her that, hey, one day things won't be like that here and you're always welcome back. And I think that came from her in an interview that I read. So if he and her are okay and she showed up at NXT during one of their super shows, so there's a possibility that she's on better terms with them. I'd love to see it, man. I think she's got unfinished business there, not maybe as a wrestler and an in-ring talent, but as a, you know, as a creative force, I'd like to see what that looks like. And like Jason said, if she doesn't go there, if AEW is willing to take a chance, you know, it definitely wouldn't hurt her division. Or hurt their division.
And listen, Not like I wanted to go full time or anything like that, but hey, if she's got one more in her while she's writing the show and whatnot, hey, one night she wants to strap on the boots, let's go for it.
If she's got a Royal Rumble match in her, let's do it.
Oh yeah.
Oh, let's do it.
I think she would definitely do that. I mean,
yeah.
So you look,
even if for one night only she, you know, was, you know, wanted to whoop somebody's ass on NXT. Sure. Why not?
All right. Well, we'll see how that all plays out in the weeks and months to come. We are going to go to a commercial break, and then when we come back, Jason and Rob are going to kind of take over the show here and talk some AEW. They're going to Dynasty this weekend, so they've got a lot to kick around there. Before we go to commercial, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirt options available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcast, including the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Go over there, check them out, pick one up, spend a few dollars more on one in soft style. Your body will thank you. The starving artists that work so hard on these shows will thank you. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We're going to commercial, and when we get back, we're talking AEW Dynasty.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
And we are back. Welcome back. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. This is the AEW portion of the show, so I'll be largely checking out, mainly because, I tried. Like, AEW's right there on Max. I think I stuck it out for about 3 weeks. And, you know, there's good stuff. There's people there I enjoy. There's not enough hours in the week, you know, between WWE, between working my other hobbies and trying to live outside of this bubble once in a while. I can't fit it all in.
When you're only getting 15, 20, maybe 30 minutes of enjoyment out of a two-hour show, adding that on top of everything, I understand.
Well, you got to watch the two-hour show to see if it's giving you the 15 minutes that you want to, that you're actually enjoying it, and I just don't have that kind of – my ADHD kicks in. I'm like, okay, I got to check out here. It's just not doing it for me. However, my awesome, awesome co-hosts are going to be live with Boots on the Ground at Dynasty. I'm going to turn it over to them. Which one of you is taking the floor first?
Okay, I guess Rob will.
All right, and I'll pipe in here and there, but this is largely you two.
Okay, I was just gonna correct DJ's next weekend, not this weekend, that's all. But you go first, Jason.
Oh, yeah.
I told you, Jason and mine's concept of time is all jacked up this week. For some reason, I thought it was this weekend.
Yeah, next weekend. But in any case, we have a good show. We're going to be at what university are we going to be at?
I think it's Temple.
University. It's Temple. Yeah. It's Temple. The LaCroix Center.
Yes.
At Temple, and in Philadelphia. So we are both going to be there live. We're going to be touristy people in Philadelphia and then go take in some wrestling. So Rob, I'm excited, honestly, because this is a very, very AEW card. And if you just want to go through the card real quick.
Yeah.
First off, we had Kenny Omega, Ricochet, and Speedball Mike Bailey. Look, I know we generally do not like the kind of wrestling match that we're about to get. But it's three of the best to do that kind of wrestling match, and we're going to be live in the building. And I ultimately don't care. I'm just there to watch some good wrestling. I'm not truly invested in these stories. So I'm just – Rob, what were your thoughts when you saw that that was going to be the match for the International Championship?
Oh, I mean, no, they're going to do – they're going to do too much. Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, but – there are three guys that, you know, yeah, they do too much, but they do it so well that you kind of just let go. I'm expecting they're going to go probably full video game match here. I mean, that's what I'm expecting. And look, and again, being in the building to see it, look, I'm sure we're going to go crazy. I mean, I'm not going to be sitting on my hands like, oh, they're not selling enough here. You know, I don't think we're going to be doing that. Okay.
No, when Ricochet goes through a ladder, like through Omega, through a ladder that lands on Speedball, who like jumps up and drop kicks Ricochet off the ladder, we're just going to be going crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think, look, that's going to be a lot of fun. And that alone is probably, you know, worth watching the show for.
Yeah. That's going to be worth the price of admission. So here's one we don't have to, you know, how about just a quick prediction? Cause I don't really want to spend time. I'm probably going to go get a drink. Chris Jericho is putting the Ring of Honor championship up against Bandido's mask.
The last time I remember Chris Jericho doing a title versus mask match, he beat Juventud Guerrera and unmasked him. So
I also think that Proud Lucha tradition is going to continue. So
yeah, I'm thinking we're probably going to get a repeat of that.
Now, in another match that I don't think we have to spend too much time on simply because it's a foregone conclusion, but in my opinion anyway, but I think I'm glad we're going to be there to see Timeless Tony Storm and Megan Bain, because Megan Bain's another one that I've seen at like bingo hall shows. Here in, you know, Boston and a couple of, I think one show we went to in New Jersey and a couple other places. So now I'm going to see her at like a real, you know, pay-per-view HBO Max or whatever it is show. Tony's going to win this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But all of her promo stuff over the past couple of weeks have just been fucking hilarious.
Dude, she's so good. And honestly, they made Megan look awesome. Like, yeah. She pinned Tony in the tag match on Collision, which ain't nothing. So that's really cool. Like, they've made her look like the big Amazon warrior that she is. I just don't think she's going to win this.
No, I mean, because she's still very early in her career. She's still very green. This is the time to, this is where she just gets some work in there with a veteran and, you know, and look good. Taking a loss, it's not a big deal.
Oh, she's gonna look great. She did the Hulk up spot the other day at the Collision match. It was awesome. She got, Tony got her in the corner with the hip attack and then was going for another one and turned around and Megan was just standing there like, yeah, what do you got? So that was awesome. But then just added to the show after Collision was the Death Riders, Claudio, Pac, and Wheeler Yuta putting up their Trios Championships against Rated FTR, obviously Cope, Cash Wheeler, and Dax Harwood. And they teased a little bit of Trouble in Paradise with Cash, you know, caught between his two best friends, Cope and Dax. And Dax isn't happy with the direction of things because Cope didn't win his matches, and you know there's trouble in paradise there, Rob. So what do you think's going to happen against the Death Riders?
Yeah, God, I hope that they patch things up, and I hope we get the end of the Death Riders on the show, and I hope they patch things up and beat them.
Rob, we're not that lucky, you know that.
I know they're one of them going to turn and join the Death Riders, and they're going to have to endure this for another month or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll pipe in here. There is absolutely zero value in either one of FTR as a singles wrestler. Why in the fuck are you splitting him up from arguably one of the best tag teams of the modern era to become just another guy in an awful stable? That screams horrible booking to me. That's not even interesting to me.
Yeah.
Like, Dax is a really good singles wrestler, and that's why he does a lot of singles matches. But
he's not marketable on his own as a singles star. That's not a knock on the guy. He's an excellent wrestler, but you got a ceiling. And unfortunately, I don't think that ceiling for him as a singles star is very high.
To be fair, we've never really seen him try to play a different character. So if he came at this with something radically different, I don't think that's just the odds of happening for both of them, you know? So Stranger things have happened. You got a great thing going. Stop it. You got a great thing going. You're all time already. So just stop it. Yeah, breaking them up is a really just short-sighted idea. So
maybe they'll go the Fraxium route, and we'll go another 18 months with them teasing it, and they don't actually do it.
I'd rather them do it.
Fine. At least that gives them something to do. I don't know. But then last up, we have the Swerve Strickland is going to attempt to end the reign of Jon Moxley as AEW World Champion. He's not going to, but at least the match will be good, right, Rob?
Yeah, well, I'll say this. I think he's the first challenger that we think, you know, that it's not a foregone conclusion. I mean, every other title defense he's had has been kind of like, he's not losing this one. Swerve was like the first challenger who is, I'd say, believable as far as beating him. And I'm really hoping he does, because if not him, I mean, it's either gotta be him or Will. I mean, one or the other, unless Brian is going to come back and do it.
Doesn't 5% of you think that might be happening?
If Brian's going to come back and do it, probably. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'd had that thought the other day. I'm like, it's gotta be Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
I wanted to say that before we ended the show. I just wanted to put that in the ether. I'm glad we all kind of had that thought. I don't know, man. At this point, with the way they've been dragging it out, like, they need a like the song, we need a hero. And who do they have under their umbrella better than Bryan Danielson?
I guess. I mean, it makes sense. I just, if you're ever old.
I hate the takesy backsies with.
I would be okay if it was Omega.
Well, I think.
I would actually actively tune in. If they spoiled it for me and said, look, we're eventually getting to Mox and Omega's going over, I would actively watch that.
Yeah, I just. Well, I would
Avatar
do it.
Avatar of AEW.
I'm going to be rooting very hard for Swerve to win. I really want him to win.
Don't get me wrong. If Swerve wins, great. But it's either Brian or Omega, or if I had to book it, it would be Bobby Lashley. But I'm a mark for Bobby Lashley, and I would book him to win everything.
Well, yeah, and now they're still doing the tag team thing, so.
Yeah.
I hope Swerve wins. I'm going in this fully optimistic and hoping that he wins.
How do you guys feel about the rumor of the Shane was going to do business and then they didn't? And so now they've had to pivot on the Death Riders thing.
Well, I mean, like if I were Shane, I would not want to go there just to be a damn employee. I mean, because from what some of the store reports were that he wanted like an active role, like running things or running some things or something. I couldn't blame Shane for not wanting to just be an employee. But also, I mean, I also wouldn't blame Tony because, I mean, Shane is not Vince, right? I mean,
Little history to suggest that Shane actually knows what he's doing.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm not falling over myself to I'm gonna get Shane McMahon to run my creative. No, I'm not falling over myself to do that. So, I don't blame Shane for not wanting to be just an employee, and I also don't blame Tony if Shane was coming in there asking for, power or control over this or that. This would be one time where I wouldn't blame Tony for being like, not really, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't, if all of those reports are true, then I don't blame either one of them for how they feel.
Because at the beginning, when he was first putting the company together, he had talked to Cornette for a while. And when basically according to Jim, once he found out that, that he had to deal with all the EVPs. He was like, no, hell no. Look, Cornette would have, he would have killed one of the Young Bucks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. That would have been, you know what? That would have been an awesome, awesome television show.
Dr. Bullock, could you imagine the video reveal on that one?
Look, if y'all
we have CCTV footage of Jim Cornette beating up Matt and Nick Jackson. Here's the Buck side of things.
Goodness. Oh, man. And he would put those dudes in the dirt.
That's funny. So you guys got anything else with this?
Yeah, that's the whole card.
That's all we've got so far. So,
yeah.
There'll probably be
tag match, I would imagine.
Yeah, and then Mercedes will probably get on there doing it. You know, she has one of her
Joshi friends.
Yeah, I mean
Joshi is a mom.
Yeah, she has a name on her list that she hasn't gotten to yet.
Jesus.
I think with her, I mean, we're all awaiting for her. We're all hoping that she will be able to rescue Athena from behind the paywall of honor sometime this year. That's what we're all holding out for that.
That just blows my mind that Tony has had one of the best women's wrestlers active today on his payroll for almost 3 years, and she's not on TV. That just...
It's insane, just man.
Blows my mind.
And listen, she has no holes in her game. Like, good. She can talk. Like, she's... I wouldn't say she's, hey, get out there and do 20 minutes. But she can talk. She can work. She works hard. Like, she works, you know, snug if you want
her to.
She's
believable.
Like,
Athena's always been believable.
And she's believable. She's fantastic in terms of, like, pro wrestling. She can be as, like, fantasy and weird as she want, as you want.
She has one of the best finishers in wrestling. And you're not putting that on your TV show every week.
Yeah.
Like, Tony, shut the front door, man. What are you doing?
Yeah, dude. Like, get out of here.
So, we're all hoping, Mercedes, please, you know, throw a rope over the wall.
Over that paywall.
Yeah.
Get your girl out of there.
If you can do that, Mercedes, we will forgive.
Yeah, right.
I will forgive at least your next bad promo.
Your AEW run is at least a B now.
Yeah. All right, well, guys, if you got nothing else, so you want to get out of here? We'll call it early
next week. We'll probably go long because we'll talk about all the. You know, I'm trying to drag my wife and I are trying to drag Rob to all sorts of touristy nonsense, and so we'll have tales of Philadelphia and tales, obviously, of the show. And I believe we have a guest next week, so yeah.
We do. Next week's episode. We have a loaded show next week. We're going to have Ray Cash on here as we ramp up the WrestleMania talk. I wanted to do something a little bit different. And, you know, everybody does their top 10 list, and they're to the top 10 best WrestleManias and the top 10 best whoever's matches at WrestleMania. And I wanted to do something along those lines, but I thought of it more like, and the way I explained it to the guys, think of it as your WrestleMania Spotify list. You're watching WrestleMania and you give a match a thumbs up and you give a match a thumbs up, and that's how the algorithm works. And from there, I wanted the guys to build a 10-match WrestleMania card that would be theirs. Like, you're home for the day and you want to watch your 10 favorite WrestleMania, not what the internet thinks are the top matches, your person. It can be anything. It could be anything. It could be a straight wrestling match. It could be something sports entertaining. Your top 10 favorite WrestleMania matches all time. And I want you to build a card. And the only criteria that I had for this was that you have to have a solid opening match. You have to have a main event match. The other eight in the middle can be laid out any way you want them. Doesn't have to be in any particular order. Just, you know, not in order of importance or anything like that. Just write them out. And you can't use the same wrestler twice. And I did that because I didn't want Jason to have 10 matches that were all Roman Reigns. So that was the biggest reason why I did that. So well, we're going to be doing that.
Tough, man, because if you use the ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship from WrestleMania of, what, 31, you can't use Kevin Owens, you can't use Sami Zayn, you can't use this guy, you can't use that guy, you can't. So it's like, you got to be very, very careful.
I'm forcing you to dig deeper into the WrestleMania archives. And that's what I wanted to do here, because there's a lot of WrestleManias that may not have been, they may have been forgettable shows, but there may be a match on there that resonated with you. It's like we were on with EJ last night, Rob and I were, and we did something similar. We did a WrestleMania draft on the Earnestly Speaking podcast, and I threw one out there that came completely out of left field in my draft, but it's a match that I unashamedly love, and that was I forget what the match was. Basically, it was a no-holds-barred match between Rowdy Roddy Piper and Goldust. And I forget which WrestleMania it was from, but it's a match that I love. I love it because, one, it's ridiculous sports entertainment. It makes fun of O.J. Simpson running from the cops in the Bronco, and it's pretty stiff in some spots because there's some spots in there where Piper is just beating the ever-loving shit out of Goldust. Like, it's a great match, and I threw that in as their swerve, and that's from a WrestleMania that a lot of people probably don't even think about. So that was the idea for this project. You know, come up with your WrestleMania Spotify list, and we're going to go over that. We're going to have Ray Cash on here going over his list. We're going to have a good time. We're going to talk a little bit more about the WrestleMania build. At that point, we'll be a mere 2 weeks away from WrestleMania, so we can start really ramping up the talk about that. So we got a loaded show for you guys next week. Going to be a lot to talk about, so we are going to get out of here a little bit early tonight.
That sounds great to me.
Yep. Call it an early night, man, because I'm kind of tired. I still got a full day of work tomorrow, and then I want to relax. Going to go around the room here and thank my co-host this week, starting with the host of the Rob the Genius podcast. Rob, sir, thanks for another good show.
Yeah, always good to be here, man.
And my brother in the time loop, Bucky's tag team partner, Jason, sir, we'll get it right one day.
It's Wednesday, right?
I need a sound bite of, like, remember the song The Time Warp? Let's do the time warp again. I need that sound bite. I need a sound bar for this show. I got to get with Tony. I got to get that worked out.
Let's get out of here.
Remember, you can call it sports entertainment. You can call it pro wrestling. I did that backwards. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we're out of here till next week.
News just in. Bet365 is now live in Illinois.
That's right. Join Bet365 today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet $5, win or lose.
That's amazing.
That's for sure. With Bet365, you can bet on the spread, totals, and money line.
Well, there you have it, Illinois. Download the Bet365 app and get your $150 in bonus bets today.
And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Illinois. T's and C's apply.
To everyone who loves the taste of tradition, come enjoy a classic Wisconsin fish fry at Culver's.
I'm Genesis from Culver's in Claremont, Florida. And here, family fish fry is a part of who we are. We've been serving up fish fry favorites for over 40 years, all thanks to the Culver Family Roots and Wisconsin Supper Clubs, the place where the fish fry was perfected. If you're craving something crispy on the outside and flaky on the inside, you've got to try our hand-battered North Atlantic cod. It's perfectly seasoned and my personal favorite. Or, if you're in the mood for a little extra crunch, our lightly breaded butterfly jumbo shrimp hits the spot every time. Whatever you order, I promise it will be made with love by a team who cares, because we want every guest to feel like family. That's just how we do it in Wisconsin. Dive into delicious with all your fish fry favorites at Culver's.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to delicious.